Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm just going to step back just to look at this once more here, up close. Just a very short preface here. The story that I put together has unfolded for me. And so in some ways, I've been as intrigued by the story of the story as I have been by the story itself. And the characters have evolved as I've worked on it. And so maybe at some point I'll have to kind of figure out a way to tell that story, or at least write it down for myself just so I don't forget. So here's my story that culminates with the Ascension. She was just a little toad of a child when she was a baby. The leper colony that lived on the far side of the lake and which found her and raised her pitied her at first. But later they came to revile her when it became clear that even though she was disfigured, she was far luckier than they since she didn't seem to share their doom. She had large bulging eyes. She had impressively webbed hands and feet. She waddled around on all fours and hopped clumsily when she needed to move in a hurry. And the only sound she made was a throaty hum that usually ended with a sharp pop in her cheeks. But at least she wasn't rotting to death. So she had little contact with people, lepers or otherwise, and no real friends. She played with the bats at nightfall, enjoying them one evening and then eating them the next. She grew up to be a little toad of a woman, and the few people who knew she was there at all and were happy to chase her away cruelly when they saw her called her Toad Woman. When the Christ-to-be came down to the river, the Toad Woman was already lurking at a distance. Only her nose and high-domed eyes were above water, concealed in the cattails. She'd been there, watching for several days already, drawn by the presence of people, desperate to see them, to hear them, to befriend them, and maybe taste them, except that she was much too afraid of them to show herself. She'd been beaten badly, enough times to understand what it meant to be considered devil spawn. They kept coming down into the water, with chanting and singing, and then going out over and over again. Maybe the same people, maybe different, she couldn't tell. They were all so fascinating, all so appealing, and she could feel a dreadful impulse rising in her, like the feeling in the air before lightning, so that she knew she should either go away quietly now or count on being savaged. It was at that moment of no return, when the lightning was about to discharge, and the Toad Woman was about to rush helplessly out into the midst of the people, when the Christ-to-be appeared. He went down into the water, like all the others. He lingered, waist deep. The Toad Woman felt the tension swell in her, so that her eyes widened and smarted. Then there came a soft, crackling boom that made the surface of the water shiver, and the air was sucked out of her lungs. A voice rippled all around, saying, "Ah, my blessed child, you delight me so much." The Toad Woman blinked and drew breath sharply. The Christ-to-be was wading slantwise out of the water, shining like a dragonfly in the sun. He was coming closer and closer. He paused, knee-deep in the water, at the edge of the cattails, and looked back over the river. The Toad Woman hadn't been this close to another person in years. She could smell the pungent funk of old sweat and new water on the man's body. What else could the Toad Woman do? She raised herself on her haunches. Water spooled off of her back and ragged hair. She heard the screams and cries of, "It's a monster! It's a devil!" She knew stones would come flying shortly. But she paddle-waddled herself up to the Christ-to-be, who stood waiting, looking at her. She'd never spoken human words in her life until now. Looking up at the Christ-to-be, she said croakily, We are freaks, you and I. Everyone hates me, but everyone loves you. Slowly, slowly, the Christ-to-be smiled at the Toad Woman. Not everyone. I love you. Come with me. And that's what the Toad Woman did. Astounded as much that the Christ-to-be professed love for her, as that he didn't deny their co-freakishness. The Toad Woman hobbled and hopped along behind the Christ-to-be in his wake, coming along as fast as she could. Juan and Jaime and Pedro and Martha and Mary joined them. Matthew and Andrew and Maria and Felipe and Tom and James. James gave her fits that made her slink away in the dark, joined them also. And so many more, some who stayed for just a little while, some who stayed longer. But they were always on the go, always moving, always walking somewhere. Where? The Toad Woman couldn't tell. Though she didn't care either, because the briefest glance from the Christ-to-be filled her with a fluttering far more sustaining than all those bats ever could. In the presence of the Christ-to-be, wild and wondrous things happened. Diseased people were healed. Paralyzed people got up and walked. The blind could suddenly see. Dead children came back to life. The hungry were fed. Water turned into party wine, and the demon-possessed set free. And no one laid a finger on the Toad Woman. Occasionally, there were crude words and threatening taunts from someone else in the caravan, which cowed her to the outer circle. But then the Christ-to-be would call the little children to him, and the prostitutes, and the insect-eaten inside-out white ash tree deadbeats, and the green ash tree baby mamas, and the lovelorn politicians, and the outcasts, and the Toad Woman came also to sit nearby and listen to him talk about his kingdom. Oh, the things he said about his kingdom. Truthfully, the Toad Woman didn't understand much of it. She was so far through the cesspit cracks of any earthly kingdom that she didn't really know what the Christ-to-be meant. But she could see tears come into the eyes of those who listened. She could see worry and fear slide from haggard faces like old skin. She could hear sighs and gasps and laughs of joy and delight from battered lips. The words that man spoke filled broken, empty people with something better than food. As far as the Toad Woman could tell, the kingdom was all that these people were waiting for. As far as she was concerned, she was living in the kingdom right now, as long as she was near the Christ-to-be. One day, the Toad Woman heard the Christ-to-be say that he would die. In fact, be killed. The Toad Woman closed and opened her eyes. A short while after that, the Christ-to-be said something similar, that someone would kill him. The Toad Woman furrowed her brow. It seemed now to be something that the Christ-to-be brought up often. Made everyone very uneasy. They all went up to the big city. The Toad Woman was frightened of it. Of all the people, all the movement, all the hurrying, everyone loud and sharp and on edge, she couldn't make sense of it. So she stayed very close to the Christ-to-be. The Toad Woman heard him say, "The time is at hand when I will suffer and be killed." So it was the Toad Woman who spoke up. For just the second time in her life. "What do you mean? Who would kill you? They'll kill me long before you. I mean, look at me. No one would miss me. But you? No one would kill you." And the Christ-to-be looked at the Toad Woman with eyes of raw panic and pain. Suddenly, the Toad Woman felt horror rising. The Christ-to-be said, "Those are the devil's words. Spit them out if you can, or cut out your tongue if you can't, if you wish to follow me." The Toad Woman shriveled like a frog in the sun. She couldn't move. The crowd swirled around her and past her. She was stuck in shame, utterly exposed and alone, with the traffic of the city blaring at her. Night began to fall. Pitiless men found her. She tried to escape, but she flopped about witless until they stunned her with a glass bottle over the head. Blood ran rampant. They smashed first one eye, then the other. They whipped her with sticks and stung her with fiery wire. They clubbed and kicked and dragged her to the edge of the city. All the time they were laughing and swearing. They twisted her hands and feet till surely they would break. They threw her out into a sewer ditch and said, "The Passover lamb isn't meant for the mutant daughter of Satan like you. The angel of death take you." They left her to die. How long? She didn't know. Night, day. She vaguely heard the words she had spoken to the Christ to be. But death didn't come. Or it wouldn't come. Or it couldn't come. Even death didn't want her. From the ditch, she heard whispered words going by, talking about someone dead. But it wasn't her. She was alive. It was someone else. It was the Christ to be they were talking about. The Christ to be, they said, was dead. And she knew those voices passing by. They belonged to some of the followers. Donald and Hillary, Ted and Bernie, Carly and Ben. "The empire and the leaders of the law have killed him," they said. "We'll have to find a different way." The toad woman tried to croak for help, but they didn't hear her. Night and then early morning, the toad woman was trying to crawl through the sewer ditch to get away. At last, someone was scrambling down to help her or finish her off. Maybe that was better. Her eyes were so badly damaged she couldn't see, but she knew the smell of this man. Even down in this sewer, and the smell of his sweat was sweeter than new hay, sweeter than mother's milk. She sobbed for joy, and the Christ-to-be lifted her tenderly up. "I knew you weren't dead. I knew they couldn't kill you," the toad woman wept. It was the third time she spoke. "I knew it. I knew you'd come for me." The Christ-to-be quieted her and said, "I had to go after those who fled already. Go and join the others who are nearby. I'll see you soon." And so, a little time later, or a long time later, it was hard to tell, they were all together on a hill. Pedro and Maria and Andrew and some of the others asked the Christ-to-be whether he was now going to set up the kingdom, which he'd been talking about. The toad woman didn't care, so long as she was with the Christ-to-be. But then, as they talked, it became clear that the Christ-to-be was saying farewell to everyone. One by one, he said something to each of them. Last, he came to the toad woman. "You've never asked me for anything of all the people. Not healing, or restoration, or faith, or anything. Why not? Ask what you want." "You know why," said the toad woman. "All I wanted was to be loved. And you did that. But where are you going?" "I'm going to my kingdom," said the Christ-to-be. "Where is it? Take me with you. I don't want to be apart from you," the toad woman pleaded. "Look around you," said the Christ-to-be. And the toad woman saw that they were rising away from the ground, and she could see the land unfolding beneath her like a dragon dream. "This is my kingdom. It is made of all which no other kingdom wants. It is the kingdom of the small, the suffering, the disfigured, the frightened. It is the kingdom of the heartbroken, the poor, the shameful, the unfit. It is the kingdom of the weak, the diseased, the dying, and the dead. For in my kingdom, all knots are untied, and death empties itself into life. It is the kingdom of the longed for, the deeply desired, the unfulfilled, the kingdom of that which is yet to be. It is vast. Can you see it? Then where are you going? Persisted the toad woman. Not far, dear creature. Much nearer than you realize. Soon the scales will fall from your eyes and you'll see it. You'll see me. If I can go there in body, it means you can too. But how? Show me. You are the Holy One, cried the toad woman. Once I was revealed with a kiss. Now I will reveal you with a kiss, because you belong to me, the Christ-to-be replied. You are mine. All that is mine is part of my kingdom. And wherever my kingdom is, there is also where I am. He kissed the toad woman's rough, narrow lips. She looked at him with a face like slowly breaking glass, like something that has fought for too long to come into its own, like an island finally breaching the surface of the water. Ah, she said, full of agony and bone-deep pleasure. I see. Then he was nowhere. And the toad woman was standing on the ground, utterly unrecognizable. She was a breathtaking beauty, a tree of unrivaled grace and proportion, a princess among trees, a queen, so light and strong that she seemed to float above the grass. Her delicate leaves shimmered silver and golden and green in the sunlight and spread wide about her like wind-wild wings, and wreathed her head like a crown. Her powerful brown arms were bountiful with irresistible fruit. A gentle breeze played through her limbs and leaves and always carried the fresh music of her voice, soft and lovely and assuring. Beneath her, the kingdom took root, and through her, it still spreads across the depth and breadth of the earth. Merciful and gracious mystery, I am living and dying to feel the touch of your lips.